Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Somebody corrected me on the text line. Actually, Sports Machine. Mac and cheese is not considered a side at Q39. Oh, my bad. I was talking about the best side dishes at KC Barbecue Joints because yesterday we had the official 610 Drive barbecue draft. We drafted our top 10 favorite barbecue restaurants. But honestly, the meat is important. The sauce is important. But oftentimes, the barbecue comes down to the side dishes. And in my opinion, there's six that are the best in Kansas City. The fries at Gates, as long as you dip them in the sweet sauce. Because if you don't dip them in the sweet sauce, if I'm being real with you, the fries at Joe's are probably better. The cheesy corn at Jack Stack, phenomenal. My sister's favorite. The baked beans at Zarda, the OG, grew up on those things. The mac and cheese at Q39, which some uppity person tells me is officially not a side. The spicy slaw at Joe's is the best slaw in town. But to me, if we're talking barbecue side dishes in Kansas City, it's not even close. The corn fritters at Rosedale Barbecue. If you haven't had those, they will completely change your life. Keep those texts rolling in on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line at 69306. Except for you from the 816 that says cheesy corn is trash. What are you talking about and what's the matter with your palate? That person also says Smokehouse easily has the best baked beans. So, sir, you've been wrong twice in one text. Congratulations. Kramer, try to do better when you get us the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go. Now that the Chiefs have franchise tagged Chris Jones, what is the next move they should make?
Well, the next move they should make is with Chris Jones again, and they should lock him up long term. And what this does, essentially, when you franchise tag a guy, I think a lot of Chiefs fans saw this news or heard this news on our station earlier today. Probably got it here, let's be honest, the official partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. But they assume, cool, they franchise tag Chris Jones. That means Chris Jones is going to be a Chief next year. And I would say, not so fast, my friend. The most likely scenario is, yes, that he plays under the franchise tag this year, $16.5 million, whatever the number ends up being. And then I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs say, all right, man, we don't have enough money available. Go out and hit the open market. Thanks for your services. Two, what today does, it buys them a little bit of time. Gives them essentially till July if they want to lock up Chris Jones under a long-term deal. That's the decision that I would make if I was the Chiefs, brass and Brett Veach. If you're Chris Jones, probably look yourself in the mirror every morning. You're like, what else am I supposed to do? Great in the community. Played every game except for three games this year, his entire career. 25 sacks the last 2 years. Only 25 years old, and only one guy in football's name's Aaron Donald that plays the position better. I mean, what else am I supposed to do? So if I'm Chris Jones, I'm still obviously looking for that long-term deal. Or the Chiefs could do the same thing they did with Dee Ford. Don't get it twisted. I am not saying anything to the effect of Dee Ford and Chris Jones are the same talent or as good as or as valuable as each other. But they could say, all right, we got Chris Jones on the franchise tag. If you want him bad enough, what are you willing to give us? A first and a second? Two first? A first and a third? A first and a veteran wide receiver? At that point, the Chiefs have a decision to make because Chris Jones is such a special player that I wonder how many teams have ever been in the position the Chiefs find themselves in, where they're loaded with talent, best player in the league, coming off a Super Bowl, and for non-quarterbacks, They got the biggest free agent out there, and it's not even close in Chris Jones. So there's certainly a decision to be made. The fact that they have announced they're going to franchise tag him buys them some time.
Two.
So the Royals season is a month away. Are there any potential free agents they could add?
There are a bunch of free agents out there. The problem with the Royals and the way they're built is they're going to be much more in sell mode than buy mode. Let's say the All-Star break rolls around, trade deadline comes up next, and the Royals are, you name it, 10, 15, 20 games out. So the season looks like it's a bust. At that point, what happens when they come calling for Jorge Soler? What if they give you an offer? Kind of like we were just talking about Chris Jones. You got to listen. What happens if they come knocking for Witt? You have to take the offer. So this team isn't necessarily looking to add, especially an expensive piece. Something tells me they're going to be more sellers than buyers. But there are some names out there that would be interesting that are still free agents and still available. Russell Martin at catcher. The Royals, still in Chiefs mode, could absolutely use a catcher. First of all, I don't know if they've got a good option at backup besides Salvi that would be better than Russell Martin. And who's to say that Salvi doesn't slide over to first base and play a lot of games this year, more than we're expecting? He'd look good in a Royals uniform. Andrew Cashner, former right-handed pitcher that won 15 games. Well, he formerly won 15 games. He's still a right-handed pitcher. Aaron Sanchez, also a right-handed pitcher in 2016. He won 15 games, had an ERA of 3. While we're talking right-handed pitchers, I can't believe I'm going to bring up this guy's name, but I will. The Dark Knight himself of the 6.5 ERA and the $12 million contract. Yeah, no, Matt Harvey's not coming to Kansas City. Ben Zobrist is out there, though, if we're talking about would fit the bill. Former Royal, good in the clubhouse. Speaking of former Royal and available, Melky Cabrera is also out there. He hit 280 a season ago. And the biggest name that's still available that I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell ends up in Kansas City, but it's fun to talk about. Yasiel Puig is also out there. Can you imagine a 4-5 in the Royals lineup that had Yasiel Puig and Jorge Soler? No need to imagine that because it's not going to happen. What's next?
Three. Hey, so Sean, I really enjoyed your Levine's list today. Can we just get another one of those?
If you can fire me up the Levine's list music, which you did, yeah, I can do that for you. If you weren't with us earlier today, today is National Pokemon Day. Did you know that, Kramer?
I did not.
Happy National Pokemon Day.
Right back at
you. I kind of did feel bad because, one, I didn't get you anything. And, two, my boy C-Dot is gone. And C-Dot won't admit it because he's too cool for school. He loves Pokemon. I've seen C-Dot.
Gotta catch them all.
I've seen C-Dot. He's got a Pokemon hat. What's the main Pokemon guy's name?
Ash?
No, the little yellow thing.
Oh, Pikachu.
Yeah, Pikachu. What the hell's Ash?
Isn't that the guy's name?
I don't know. Oh, the actual guy?
Yeah, you said guy. Like, what's the guy's name?
I don't know. Ash. Is that his name?
I'm pretty sure it's Ash.
Can somebody confirm that on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line? Is the guy's name in Pokemon Ash, or is Kramer lying to me? But anyway, today is National Pokemon Day. Happy Pokemon Day to everybody out there. It made me think, what are the most underrated cartoons? At number 10, Celebrity Deathmatch with Mills Lane. I get it. It was claymation. Maybe technically not animation, but we're going to go with it. Let's get it on! At number 9, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Kramer, if you were a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, who would you be?
Be Donatello.
See, I'd be Raphael. At number 8, Mighty Mouse. He was a superhero. He was undersized. He was a rodent. A lot of those hit home. Mighty Mouse comes in at number 8. Number 7, Rocko's Modern Life. I don't know if it was on for more than 2 or 3 years, but it was good while it was lasting. At number 6, Gargoyles. Way ahead of your day, Cram Dog, but you got to take my word for this.
I've watched it.
You've watched Gargoyles?
Yes, it's on Disney Plus.
Kramer, are you lying to the people again?
No.
You've watched Gargoyles?
Yes.
Okay. It's currently on Disney Plus.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. At number 5, do you remember what your homework assignment was? You were supposed to go home and watch this cartoon tonight. You wrote it down.
Darkwing. Duck or Dark. One of those, Duckwing? It's Duckwing.
Kramer. Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck. There we
Darkwing
go.
Darkwing Duck, the 5th most underrated cartoon in the history of animation.
Down.
You called it Duck Darkwing. Turn your mic off. At number 4, the Animaniacs. We are the Animaniacs. That's all that I really know. But they got Pinky in the Brain. They're the Animaniacs. The Critic. The Critic came on in prime time, so it wasn't like most of these other Saturday morning commercials, and it was about, guess this, a movie critic. And the guy was short and balding and a little depressed. You remind me a lot of my dad, actually. I love The Critic. At number two, Camp Candy. It was John Candy's cartoon. Very short-lived cartoon, but also good. And at number one, the most underrated cartoon of all time. I made my niece and nephew watch this yesterday, actually. They wanted Paw Patrol or PJ Masks, and I said, no, 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 no. No, not on old Uncle Sean's phone. They're going to watch Bobby's World. And that's a remix of today's Levine's List. Do we have any hits left? We got a fourth hit today?
We got one.
Do we really?
More. Yes, we do.
Well, then let me hit that. Four.
By the way, it was Ash Ketchum is the guy's name.
Thank you. Text time. Appreciate you.
So, Sean, the 610 Sports Combine was today.
Ash Ketchum sounds like an adult film star. That was the guy on Pokemon?
Yep. It was late 80s, early 90s? I don't know. But 610 Sports Combine was today.
Who else is in Pokemon? Ron Jeremy and Long John Silver? What the hell? Ash Ketchum?
Long John Silver.
We better move on.
Okay, yeah. So, is there any chance that you won the 610 Sports Combine today?
Me?
Yeah.
No, there's a chance I tore my scrotum earlier today at the 610 Sports Combine. Now, I'm just glad that my knees are intact, that my shoulders are right. The bench press was embarrassing. Thank you to all of our friends out there at the Olathe Sportsplex. It was a great time. I did beat Speck and Pig, so I left with a little bit of my dignity, but I don't think I won the 40-yard dash. My problem was the second time I ran, I took my shirt off and my moves got in the way. I thought they were going to actually act as like a... like wings, like I might actually take off in mid-flight, but they didn't. They slowed down the aerodynamics, so the 40 didn't work out great. The high jump, eh, the broad jump, whatever. But again, thanks to our friends out there at the Olathe Sportsplex, that was a lot of fun. I'm certainly not going to finish last, and I do think there's a chance I won the Wonderlic, because let's be honest, none of these other Jamokes we work with are all that bright. 693-306 on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. I will say this, man. On my way out to Olathe earlier today, I stopped by. Well, didn't stop by. Drove by one of my old jobs. And I'll admit, I've had a lot of jobs. First job, I was a bagger at Schnucks. Then I folded clothes at Old Navy. As a matter of fact, Kramer, little known fact, I enjoy folding my laundry because I'm so damn good at it. I'm really good. I'm in the top 1% of laundry folders.
Can you just come over and fold my laundry?
I don't enjoy folding other people's laundry. I'll
pay in some.
For a nominal fee, I'll fold your laundry, buddy.
Okay, perfect.
But I do think that we've all had terrible jobs in our life. Every one of us. Everybody listening at some point has had a job that they look back on and they're like, that sucked. I passed mine earlier today. It was the summer of El Nino. Your boy worked at UPS out there in Olathe as a loader, and they put me in the trailer that only had the irregular objects, which weighed more than 75 pounds, had sharp edges, or they were just like farming equipment, or I moved a bunch of like railroad equipment. I moved some gymnasiums. If it was big, I did it the summer of El Nino. That's got to be the most taxing and worst job that I ever had. If you're at UPS listening to right now, pat yourself on the back, let the boss give you a break, and drink a Gatorade, because that is tough work. Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line 69306. What's the worst job that you've ever had? You know who's got a good job right now? Chris Jones. Is it a great job? I mean, from my perspective, somebody says we're going to give you $16.5 million to go out there and play a little football? Yeah. From his perspective, honestly, I'm a little perturbed. I'm a little upset. Frankly, I'm pissed off. Because from Chris Jones' perspective, what else is that guy supposed to do? The problem for Chris Jones not getting the long-term contract either this last offseason when he kind of, sort of, air quotes, held out in St. Joe, or getting the long-term contract today, or I should say in a couple of weeks when he's eligible, instead of getting the franchise tag, which we found out today is the future of Chris Jones in Kansas City, has nothing to do with Chris Jones. Can you imagine if whatever your job is, you've done it at the highest level, you've done it better than anybody else in your industry for 4 years. That's what Chris Jones has done. Besides Aaron Donald, he's been the best defensive tackle in football. Can you imagine that you show up to work almost every single day on time with a smile on your face? That's Chris Jones. great in the clubhouse. Yeah, he missed three games this year, but it's only three games that he's missed of his entire career. So he's not an often injured guy like it might seem. What else are you supposed to do? Then have 25 sacks over the last 25 years, be good in the clubhouse, and essentially still yet to hit your prime. What else can you do? If you're the Chiefs, you have to tell him, sorry, buddy, we're giving you the franchise tag, and we're going to buy ourselves a little bit of time. To call it what it is, it's the only real decision that the Chiefs had. Yeah, they could have negotiated long-term, but then Chris Jones would have been the one who was forcing their hand. He would have had the leverage, and that's not how it works. Millionaires have a lot of say. Guess who has more? Billionaires. So the Chiefs were always going to dictate when, where, and how much Chris Jones was going to get paid. And they determined today the best course of action was to franchise tag him because that means, one, he can play under the tag this year. Two, they can give him a long-term deal between now and July. Or three, they can do what they did with Dee Ford, which is dangle him out there. But if I'm an employee like Chris Jones is, and I've showed up every day to work with a smile and been better in the industry than everybody except for one, and the Chiefs have decided not to give me the long-term deal, and it's not because of me, I'm pissed off. And what I'm talking about is, unfortunately for Chris Jones and his agent, last year, the Chiefs decided to give the bag to Frank Clark. So 2 years in a row, the Chiefs paid the wide receiver on the open market the most money, and Sammy Watkins. They gave him, what was it, $18 million a year a couple of seasons ago? Last offseason, they gave Frank Clark $20 million a year. So in the open market, the free agent who made the most money ended up in Kansas City 2 years ago. The defensive end that made the most money on the open market, or I should say I get it, it was a trade, but you get my drift. Chiefs gave him $20 million a year, ended up in Kansas City. This year, they're going to pay Patrick Mahomes sooner rather than later, $40, $45 million. So it sucks for Chris Jones because it has nothing to do with Chris Jones. 99% of Chiefs seasons, I've watched this team my entire life. If they get a guy like Chris Jones who's 25 years old, 25 sacks in the last 2 years, they lock him up. No question about it. End of story. But unfortunately, they paid Sammy, overpaid a couple of years ago. They paid Frank Clark this last offseason. And going forward, they're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes. So it's not as simple as saying, yeah, we'd like to have him because he's young and because he's good and because he's healthy and because he's in his prime. It's a bunch of other guys that have to get paid too. So it's time for Brett Veach to once again put on his big boy pants and make the right decision. And if you're like me, whatever decision Brett Veach makes, I'm cool with. And I didn't think I'd be saying that 6 months ago. I came on this very mic on this very station, and I said Brett Veach was underachieving. And at the time, he was. Anthony Hitchens, Sammy Watkins, the entire draft class 2 years ago. But he did a 180. He got Frank Clark. He got Tyrann Mathieu. He drafted Juan Thornhill. He got Mecole Hardman. At this point, whatever decisions Brett Veach decides to make on the long-term plans for Chris Jones in a Chiefs uniform, I'm cool with. In Veach, we trust. How many more things does this guy need to do to pad his resume for me as an idiot sitting behind a microphone to say, all right, I'm going to stop questioning what he does and just feel comfortable with it? What more could he have done in a couple of years as a general manager? Check out this resume if you're Brett Veach. 2 years on the job, two AFC championship games, one Super Bowl appearance, one Super Bowl championship. Patrick Mahomes, a lot of people think that I'm the reason why he's on the Chiefs. The 2019 draft, and this offseason, you got both Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark. Oh, by the way, he's 41 years old. Arrowhead Pride did an article earlier today talking about the historical accomplishments that Brett Veach has a chance to check off over the next 10 years. We've talked a lot about Pat and what he could do, and he could be an all-time great. And I actually think the next time Pat wins the Super Bowl, we immediately put him in the all-time great conversation. If you've got an MVP, you've been to multiple AFC championship games, and I don't know if you know this, but to go to a Super Bowl, you also have to play in the AFC championship game that year. So that would be a third if he goes to and wins another Super Bowl at least. I don't know if it's this year or next year or 4 years down the line, but once he wins another one of these things, then nobody can call or text or say that Pat isn't already one of the all-time greats. Maybe you got frustrated hearing me say that last year because he was a guy who threw 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, was an MVP, but had never really accomplished much in the postseason. Now, starting to kind of come around probably that Pat belongs, or at least is on the trajectory of belonging in the all-time great quarterback conversation. If he wins a second, then he's there, period. There are guys that I think Patrick Mahomes is already as accomplished as. The only difference is longevity. And so I think 10, 12, 14 years from now, we look back on Pat's numbers and career, and we're going to say he was better than Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Brett Favre. What has Aaron Rodgers done in his career? And I'm not saying he hasn't been great. Don't misconstrue the point that I'm trying to make. The point that I'm trying to make is Pat's as accomplished with the trophies that are up on his mantle as any of these guys. The difference is those guys have put up more yards, more records, more touchdowns because they've played more years. But look at the numbers that Pat's put up through two. He's on pace to crush all those. And again, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But last year, when we tried to find a comparison for Pat, we always kept coming back to the same guy, Dan Marino, because there was really no other comparison because Marino went to the Super Bowl early and had the gaudy numbers. But now, I don't know who's got a more accomplished career, Dan Marino or Patrick Mahomes. I know Marino's got the numbers. I know Marino for a long time was the leading passer in the history of the NFL and the all-time touchdown leader before I think it was Brett Favre, then Peyton Manning took over those records. I'm talking about accomplishments. I'm talking about the way that we actually judge our athletes in 2020. It's not longevity. Nobody's going to remember Phillip Rivers. Nobody's going to remember Carson Palmer. Everybody's going to remember Patrick Mahomes if he retired tomorrow. I think Pat is already as accomplished as Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Brett Favre and Johnny Unitas. And when he wins another Super Bowl, he's more. He'll have two times as many as those guys. And those guys have played 15, 14, 13, and 18 more years, respectively, than our guy. So, yeah, part of this is just kind of projecting what he's going to be, but part of it is already what he's done. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, find that Jericho audio for me, Kramer, because for the people that weren't listening earlier on in the show, there are certain people in this town that you're just not allowed to say bad things about. You guys know who I'm talking about.
Jericho.
Hey, you know what else? You know what else? Aaron Mahomes is a piece.
Do you guys hear that, idiot? Chris Jericho, first of all, bro, you're burnt out, and I can't believe you still wrestle. You've been wrestling since Scott Steiner. You've been wrestling since Ted DiBiase. Dude's been wrestling since Bam Bam Bigelow.
Early 80s.
Like, it's time to hang it up. Second, Chris Jericho, if you ain't in the WWE, nobody's paying attention to you. What's he in, Kramer? The
AEW.
All right, I made
All
that
Elite
up.
Wrestling.
I don't know. Maybe a bunch of people are paying attention to that. I don't know.
There's
a lot. Who else is in it, you told me, in the AEW?
I had Jack Swagger.
Jack Swagger,
guy you might
right,
know.
Okay, yeah.
Jim Ross is one of the broadcasters.
He is?
Yes.
I love me some Jim Ross.
Yeah, he's there.
Oklahoma's finest. Okay, so maybe I undersold what the AEW is.
Cody Rhodes?
Never heard of
him. And Gold Dust?
I've heard of Gold Dust. Is Cody Rhodes related to Dusty Rhodes?
Yes. And so is Gold Dust. That's that family.
Gold? Okay.
Because it's Dustin Rhodes.
Stop.
Yeah.
Please. Okay. Please stop. Are you done? You're done, right?
You want someone else?
No.
Okay.
Chris Jericho, was his intent to belittle the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, or was his intent, I'm going to have you play it again here in a second, so get ready, or was it his intent to sound like a raging wrestling moron? Because he accomplished the second. If he comes out there and he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, if he's trying to, like, antagonize the crowd, he's doing the tomahawk chop, that's cool, you're a wrestler, that's what you do, you're a heel, I get it. That's what you're supposed to do.
Cheap Pete.
Then you come out there and you call him Pete Mahomes. You come out there and you call him Peter Mahomes. You come out there and you call him Patriot Mahomes. Those would all piss off the crowd. You don't come out there like a D-bag and do this.
Jericho.
Hey, you know what else? You know what else? Aaron Mahomes is a piece.
Aaron Mahomes? If you don't want to put the plural on the Mahomes, fine. It's not funny. It's uneducated. You should probably pay a little bit more attention. Everybody knows that it's Mahomes, Jericho. Aaron? Aaron? Where the hell do you get Aaron Mahomes? That's worse than, does anybody remember when Isaiah Thomas was introduced as the head coach for Florida International and whoever the AD at the time said, I'd like to introduce our new head coach, Isaiah Thompson. If I'm Isaiah Thomas, I quit right then and there. I'm like, screw it, dude. This wasn't meant to be. Remember the old Boston mayor, rest in peace? He used to come out. There was one time that he said that one of the most memorable Boston memories was when Jason Veritek split the uprights. Like, look, sometimes we don't always say the name right. The name is Kramer San. What's your last name?
Sansone. There you go.
Sansone.
Yep.
It's crazy to think that I work with a guy named Carrington Harrison every day, and you've got the weirder name. But you do, Kramer Sansone. I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine. Coming up next, we're going to talk about sports. We're going to go inside the mind of the machine, and we're going to put a bow on this bad boy. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
So when I was working in Lawrence 5 or 6 years ago, hosted a show called Rock Chalk Sports Talk, I got really pissed off at my producer because we were supposed to bring on Scott Van Pelt, and he hung up on him. Kramer, I have not been as upset with a producer since then until earlier today when you called Darkwing Duck. Duck Darkwing. That's unbelievable, bro. So here's what you got to do. Your homework is to go home, watch some Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, Darkwing Duck. It's on Disney Plus. At least somebody from the 913 tells me that. 913 is always right. Go home and watch it. Come back tomorrow or text me because you're not working tomorrow, are you?
Oh, they'll be here.
Okay. And let us know, is Darkwing Duck one of the 7 or 8 best cartoons that you've ever seen? Because I'd be shocked if you come to a different conclusion. From the 785, how on earth could you have left off Doug? Lost a lot of love for the sports machine today. Listen, 785, I love Doug. I just think that Doug gets the proper amount of respect. There are certain cartoons like Rugrats, for example, or The Jetsons that I love. I just think that those cartoons got their just due. And then there's other ones like, oh, I don't know, Camp Candy or Animaniacs or Darkwing Duck or Gargoyles that didn't get enough credit. That's all I'm saying. We were talking about underrated cartoons. Let's get back into the sports if we can. Feel free to keep those texts rolling in on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line at 69306, or you can dial me up at 913-576-7610. We keep talking about the contract for Chris Jones, and the Chiefs have a decision to make now. Do they pay him long-term? Do they just pay him this year under the franchise tag and let him walk? Or do they dangle him out there like they did for D Ford last offseason and see what they can get back for him? He's not the only guy, though, that wants money. And there's one guy that hasn't said he wants money that I think deserves maybe money more than anybody else on this team, and it's Travis Kelce. I'm not suggesting that Travis Kelce is going to hold out because I don't think that he's that type of guy at this point in his career. I think that he understands that he's made enough money, that he's been placed in a good enough situation where $8 million, $7 million the next 2 years is probably good enough based on the fact that other guys, including his main man, Patrick Mahomes, is one of those dudes that has to get paid. So something tells me he's not going to upset the apple cart. He's not going to ruin the friendship or the franchise and bitch and complain about only making $8 million next year and $7 million the final year of his contract. But the truth is this. He's one of the best pass catchers in the NFL. You can put that in bold, and you can put an exclamation point at the end of it if you want to. And when it comes to tight ends, if you want to argue George Kittle's better, fine. I disagree. But Travis Kelce is one of the top 10 best pass catchers, he said, in the entire NFL. You know how much those other guys make with his skill set, like Mike Evans and Julio Jones? Those guys make $20 million a year. And you're Travis Kelce, coming off a Super Bowl champion. You're the best tight end in the league. The team needs you. And next year, you're making less money than you did this season. Travis Kelce next year is set to make $8 million. Would I take that? Would you take that? Yes. Should one of the best pass catchers in the league in his prime coming off a Super Bowl championship take it? I wouldn't blame Travis Kelce. If he came to the Chiefs and said, look, I know you got to pay Chris Jones and figure out what's up with Kendall Fuller and Bashaud Breeland and Sammy and Pat and all these other guys, but I kind of want to get mine too, and I feel like I've outplayed my contract. I saw an article the other day that was talking about the Chiefs should revisit the contract of Travis Kelce. That would be a good move from the franchise as far as goodwill, but as far as being able to pay other guys, I don't know if that's the best case scenario. Because the problem is 2 years from now, from Travis Kelce's perspective, now you're 33 years old and the best years are behind you. And the Chiefs might have another tight end that they've drafted at that point. And you're probably not 2 years from now still the best tight end in the NFL. And you probably can't go out there and say, I want $15 million a year. Can you now? Yeah. And frankly, I think the Chiefs would cave because they'd have to. I think there are certain guys that the Chiefs feel like they need if they're going to win 2, 3, 4, 5 Super Bowls over the next 4, 5, 6, 10 years. And Travis Kelce is absolutely one of those guys. Now, it always comes back to the same thing. We feel like as a fan base, we got a really wide open window because we got the guy. We got Patrick Mahomes. He's 24 years old. He's already as accomplished as he is, and the Chiefs are going to lock him up. So we all feel great about that. But when it comes to these other pieces for the next few years, the Chiefs have to ask themselves, how bad do we need this guy versus letting him walk versus taking trade offers versus just keeping him on our team? When it comes to Pat, thank you, Captain Obvious, their decision is we need that guy. When it comes to Tyreek Hill, they told us based on their actions, we need that guy for the next 3 or 4 years if we're going to win Super Bowls, and they paid him this offseason. In the case of Travis Kelce, it's going to be interesting. It really is. 2 years from now. Because I think we're going to look back as Chiefs fans when it comes to Travis Kelce's career, and he's going to be thought of as tight end number one for this franchise. I think he's going to be thought of as the most popular tight end to ever wear the Chiefs uniform. Not the best. Not the best. Not with the most stats. Not the first ballot Hall of Famer necessarily that Tony Gonzalez was. But I think when we think about playoff wins, Super Bowl wins, speeches, big games, Travis Kelce is the guy that we're going to remember first. So the Chiefs have three guys on offense that they need to win multiple Super Bowls. They got at least two guys on defense that they've got locked up in Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. The question is with Chris Jones, is this just a short-term thing? Is this just a for the now? Is this a Band-Aid? Or are they eventually going to put a cast on the broken bone and actually get the situation figured out? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've got it at 33, 33, and 33%, and you can throw out 1% for something else happening that I don't foresee. They could tag him this year and trade him. They could tag him this year and he could play. They could pay him long-term money before he ever plays under the franchise tag this season. Sorry, I can't give you a bold prediction because I'm on the fence when it comes to this one. I'm also on the fence if I'm going to end up going to this concert coming up in June at the K. Now, I love when venues that don't normally put on concerts do. For example, back in the day, my dad always tells me about the time that he saw Sonny and Cher at Allen Fieldhouse and Earth, Wind, and Fire at Allen Fieldhouse, and I've always been really jealous of that. My buddy tells me about the time 20 years ago, Destiny's Child played Bramlage Coliseum back when he went to K-State. That's badass when you can see an A-list act at a place like that before they're huge. Michael Jackson, do you remember? Once came to Kansas City at Arrowhead and opened a tour. Help me out, Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line 69306. Was it the Victory Tour? I know a bunch of you guys were there that Michael Jackson, opened with in Kansas City. But I was thinking, do I want to check out a bunch of bands that my dad liked, it's not really my kind of music, at a venue that I love? And I think the conclusion I'm going to come to is yes. What am I talking about? The Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett concert that's coming in June to the K. Get your tickets now at royals.com. I've seen some good shows in Kansas City at a lot of different venues. What do y'all think is the best venue to watch a concert in Kansas City? You could go with the venue formerly known as Sandstone. I've seen some good shows there. Most recently, I saw Wiz Khalifa and Kevin Gates. Back in the day, I was at the Janet Jackson Velvet Rope Tour. Before that, I saw Milli Vanilli. Blame It on the Rain. Kemper Arena. What's the best show I saw at Kemper Arena? Oh, the first concert I ever went to. Debbie Gibson. Yeah, that's right. Your boy saw Debbie Gibson at Kemper Arena. What you going to do about it? At Uptown Theater, I once saw, who did I see at Uptown? Brother Ali. What's the best venue, Kansas City, to see a local show? Hit me up at 69306 because I'm going to go check out that show at Kauffman coming up in a few months just because I want to see it. Alpine Valley, Wisconsin is the best venue that I've ever been to, period, to see a concert. I saw Pearl Jam there. I'll tell you that story off the air, Kramers. I got peed on. It wasn't good at all. Right now, for the final time, speaking of peed on and going in dark places, let's step back inside the mind of the machine. I told you I wanted wind chimes, and you gave me the Undertaker bells.
I mean, honestly, it sounds pretty cool.
You
I
understand
like
the difference, though.
Yeah.
Wind chimes are every episode of Full House when they have a dream.
Right.
The wind chimes come up, and they go back in the day. You gave me the Undertaker bells, but you're fine.
I think it sounds good. All right, let's get into this. The LA Times did their official cereal rankings. Cinnamon Toast Crunch at the top. Are you okay with that?
Oh, cereal. They didn't rank their cereal killers?
That's at first when I first read this, I was thinking, what is Sean doing?
The Night Stalker, number one. No, we can't do that. Can we? It'd be entertaining. Maybe on my Twitter account I'll do that. Top 10 favorite cereal killers. They got Cinnamon Toast Crunch at the top? No. No, I do have a problem with that, actually. My Mount Rushmore of cereals is Cocoa Puffs, Apple Jacks, Fruit Loops, and Lucky Charms. But if you want to throw Frosted Flakes, I hear they're great, or Cheerios or Cocoa Krispies, I'm cool with any of those. But no, I would not say that Cinnamon Toast Crunch is at the top of the cereal rankings. What's next?
All right, so yesterday you showed off by naming all the WNBA teams.
Did I get them all?
Well, you actually missed one. I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt. Now try naming every Major League Soccer team. And let's start off.
Atlanta. That's the one I didn't get. Atlanta. I still don't know what they are. What's Atlanta?
The Dream.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. So let's start off with an easy one.
What are you doing? MLS quiz here?
Yes, MLS.
If we have to. All right, let's do it.
All right, let's start off with Kansas City. Who are they?
Sporting.
Okay, good. Seattle?
The Sounders.
LA?
I think they got a couple of teams. There's a Galaxy and like FC. Give me some tough ones here, man. I'm the sports machine.
All right, what's Vancouver?
The Whitecaps.
That's good. Yes. DC.
Are they the United? How many more are there?
There's a bunch of teams. There's 30 now.
Give me two more.
Two more. I'll try to get a hard one. Let's go to...
Speaking of hard one, BlueChew.com. That's BlueChew.com. One more time, it's BlueChew.com.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia?
Yes.
You might have got me. Are they the Union?
They are the Union.
Right, well, there you go.
All right, Montreal. Oh, I know this one.
Montreal? They're the Expos.
They are not. They're the Impact.
Damn it. We move on. What's next?
All right. Joel Embiid will undergo an MRI on his left shoulder. Is this just not in the cards for this guy?
I don't think it's in the cards for the Philadelphia 76ers franchise. So they draft Jahlil Okafor, number one overall pick 5 years ago. He's gone. I don't even know he's still in the NBA.
They get the Pelicans.
Markel Fultz a couple of years ago. If you're so smart, Kramer, who does he play for?
Magic.
Okay. Well, maybe you are. And then they go out there and get Ben Simmons, and he gets hurt this year, probably out for the season. Now Joel Embiid's going to have an MRI, and he's been injured goods from the moment that they brought him home from the grocery store. So I don't know if Embiid is ever going to win a championship in Philly, but we're talking about a guy in Joel Embiid where if he can stay healthy, which is a big if, he's still got 12, 13 more cracks at winning an NBA championship. So is he going to win one? Yes, at some point he will. Is it going to be in Philly with this regime? Probably not.
So there are only three teams in the Big 12 with a winning conference record. How many Big 12 teams will make the tournament?
Those three teams that have a winning record. KU's going to make the NCAA tournament. Baylor's going to make the NCAA tournament. Thank you, Captain Obvious. And Texas Tech is going to make the NCAA tournament. Texas Tech has the most to gain at this point because no matter what happens in their last three games, unless they completely poop the bed, KU and Baylor are both going to be number one seeds. And whoever wins, assuming that they play a couple of weeks in the championship game at Sprint Center in Kansas City, that's going to be your number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. So those teams really don't have much to lose. KU might go from being the number one overall seed to being a number one seed in a different bracket. Same thing with Baylor. Let's be honest. There's not that much of a difference between a one seed and a two seed. We make too much of that. There's even less difference if you're a one seed in the West or the East or the Midwest. It all comes back to the same place. So they're both going to end up one seeds. Texas Tech is probably going to end up in the tournament as like a four or a five seed. And that's it, man. For the conference that by the numbers is ranked the best, again, for the seventh straight year, I feel like the Big 12 is down this year. KU, Baylor, Texas Tech, and that's it. Maybe Texas sneaks in the back door. Maybe Oklahoma. It's going to be three, five at the very most.
The Giants cut linebacker Alec Ogletree yesterday. Should the Chiefs go hard after him?
You say hard? BlueChew.com. One more time, that's BlueChew.com. They should definitely go after a linebacker, whether it's through the draft or free agency or however they choose to flip that bill. If they go through free agency, there's a couple of guys out there. There's A.J. Klein, he's 29. There's Danny Trevathan, he's 29. Kyle Van Noy's 29. Blake Martinez is 28. So there's other options at linebacker. I don't think they have to rush into the Alec Ogletree thing, but let's say Ogletree says that he'll sign a two-year, $18 million deal. The Chiefs, well, honestly, not only Ogletree, but pretty much any warm body with a helmet on would be an upgrade at the linebacker position. As good as the Chiefs were at the back end this year with Juan Thornhill and Tyrann Mathieu, and let's give credit to Charvarius Ward, Rashad Fenton, and those guys, and as good as they were on the defensive line when Ogbo was healthy and Chris Jones the entire year and Frank Clark, is there one linebacker Chiefs fans that if he ended up in a different uniform next year, you're going to shed a tear for? Not me. So if they got Alec Ogletree, cool. I think they need to add two or three linebackers this offseason. What's next?
The Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy said Dak Prescott is the right guy to win the Super Bowl in Dallas. What are the chances this actually happens?
Small, slim to none. There is a chance, but I'm saying there's a very small chance. Here's the thing. To win a Super Bowl, you almost always have to have the three links, the quarterback, the head coach, the general manager. How are those three links in Dallas? Dak Prescott, that's an okay link when it comes to quarterback. He's probably the 10th, 12th best in the NFL, somewhere in that range. Mike McCarthy, if we're listing coaches, honestly, football fans, 25, 28, Mike McCarthy's trash. Just look what Matt LaFleur did this year in his first crack with Aaron Rodgers. They went from a 5-win team to a 13-win team and played in the NFC Championship game. So, and then Jerry Jones as the owner. Not exactly Clark Hunt, Brett Veach, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes. To answer your question, no. Dak Prescott will never win a Super Bowl, and certainly not in Dallas.
Going back to L.A., there was a police chase this morning involving a stolen hearse. What's the better getaway vehicle, a hearse, school bus, or ambulance?
Was there a dead guy in the back of the hearse? Because that makes a difference, because it weighs it down. You don't want that weight. So it's probably not the hearse. The school bus, they've made those more aerodynamic since I used to ride the school bus. Save your school bus jokes right now. I don't need those. And I'm going to go with the ambulance. Something tells me those things. I don't know this as a fact, but something tells me those things have some sort of a booster in them because, like a turbo, they're meant to go fast. I asked this out of complete ignorance. Maybe somebody can help me. I should probably know this. Why do ambulances drag chains? You know what I'm talking about?
I've never noticed that.
Next time, pay attention. Every time an ambulance goes by, and maybe it's because I live right next to KU Med, I constantly hear that helicopter, like it's going to land on my roof. But I also hear the chains that are being dragged by the ambulance. If anybody knows that, please let me know. I got 2 minutes left. I feel so much better going home tonight knowing what ambulances drag chains. Smitty's Garage, Bergs and Beer text line, 69306. What's next?
The Sonic the Hedgehog movie is in theaters. What game did you play more as a kid, Sonic or Zelda?
Oh, Zelda. For a kid like me that grew up with anxiety, I couldn't play too much Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, you collect all the damn coins, and then you get hit by one of those things, and then he loses all of his coins, and you got to go back and do the loop-de-loop thing, and he went 1,000 miles an hour. Like, you can't tell me. I've never done crack, but you can't tell me Sonic wasn't on crack. That hedgehog was absolutely on some sort of a illicit drug. He was on a PED. That was not a natural performance by a hedgehog. As far as Zelda goes, I played that all the time. not as frequently as, say, you know, Mario Brothers. Earlier today, Kramer, and I'm still upset about this, we got some liars on the text line. And I hate to call people out, but they were lying to me because nobody has ever beat Mario Brothers without the cheat code. I don't care. And yes, I'm talking about today or 30 years ago when the damn game came out. The original Mario Brothers. Nobody has beat it without cheating. Damn it. Mario 2 was all right because Luigi's legs did the full 360. Mario 3 is one of the best video games of all time. But nobody beat Mario without getting that Nintendo Weekly magazine. Get out of here. Now you've upset me, Kramer. I hope you're happy.
Apparently the chains are to keep the ambulance grounded.
No.
I don't know.
Did multiple people say that? Can we confirm
and
that?
It won't get... I don't know. There's a lot of people saying this right
Kramer
now.
Kramer making stuff up again.
Nope. It's saying it. Look at
the
text line.
That's Kramer. I'm the sports machine. Talk to y'all tomorrow. It's a drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6. Get off my bumper. Traffic.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.